Good evening, Chris. Welcome to the Space Show.
Thanks very much, Andrew.
We're at the Earth Exchange in Sydney, and we've just been through a very fascinating exhibition on meteorites and dinosaurs. Chris, would you like to tell us a little bit about it?
Okay, well, we're very excited about the result of the exhibition. The crowds have been great the first week. But the concept originally came from our director, Dr. Lindsay Sharp. We had some models of dinosaurs in our collection, which had been around, I think, for most of this century. And we had some small meteorites, not many, and some tektites in our collection. And we thought that it would be a great idea to put them together and to borrow the best examples of meteorites from around the country, from other institutions, and to put on a show, hoping that the combination of meteorites and dinosaurs would appeal to visitors of all ages.
Perhaps some of our listeners are a little unfamiliar with the term meteorite. What is a meteorite?
Okay, well, I guess the layman's description is probably a piece of naturally occurring space junk, a small part of a planet or a mini planet that's circulating out there in space. And when it's attracted into the Earth's gravitational pull and comes through the atmosphere, it becomes a meteorite.
And can we see these in the sky at all?
Yes, well, I think the, you know, what people see as shooting stars at night, if they look up in a clear sky, are meteors coming into the atmosphere and burning up, usually burning up. Very few of them actually get through the atmosphere, and even fewer are actually seen falling to Earth.
So finding one is quite a rare event then?
Yes, I think there have only been about 13 that have actually been seen landing in Australia, and probably 1,000 worldwide. A lot of them do come down. They often fall in uninhabited areas, and most of the finds of meteorites tend to be from desert areas, both hot and cold deserts. Antarctica is very well represented, and also the arid areas of Australia, because many of the meteorites corrode fairly quickly in the Earth's climate, and so it tends to be in the arid areas where they survive. And of course, in very light coloured areas like snow or sandy deserts, they stand out because they're generally darker in colour and different in composition.
Why do they corrode?
Well, the composition of them. I mean, the earthy ones tend to break up under the humid atmospheric conditions, and the iron ones corrode. They rust and pit, and they corrode that way.
How many have we got in the museum today?
Well, I think we have about a dozen meteorites on display and an equal number of tektites. But they're drawn, as I said before, from the major museums around the country. We've been very fortunate to borrow material from the Western Australian Museum in Perth, which I think probably has the best collection of meteorites, also from the South Australian Museum in Adelaide and from the Museum of Victoria.
I remember when I was a child, there's an enormous thrill being able to touch a meteorite and thinking, this has been in outer space. Can you actually touch the meteorites here?
Well, some of them can be touched, others are too sensitive, and the lending museums have asked us not to allow them to be touched by the public, but some of the more robust ones we've got on an open display. And I think, as you discover when you were a child, that's part of the great thrill, you know, to think that these things have been around for billions of years out in space and they've fallen to Earth. And I think that's it's most people find it quite amazing that these things have come from outer space.
Your exhibition makes a point about the dinosaurs and how there may be a link between meteorites and dinosaurs.
Well, I think that you know, scientists, as in most things, they don't all agree on these theories. But one of the currently major theories of the reason for the demise of a large number of the dinosaurs was a massive meteorite impact on the Earth. And there's certainly evidence has come to light in recent years that there was one or more major impacts on the Earth, and that such a meteorite landing on the Earth could have created, I guess, the equivalent effect to a nuclear winter, which you know, would have had a deleterious effect on life on Earth. And you know, it's clear that a large proportion of species that were alive 65 million years ago were wiped out by some event. Now, we've also tried to include the other theories. I mean, one is that they were subjected to disease, another that they it was just the natural end to their existence on Earth and natural causes wiped them out. And also there's the volcanic, you know, massive volcanic eruptions. It's probably a combination of those factors that led to their demise.
Have any large meteorite explosions occurred in recent times?
Well, there's certainly been some near misses. We detail in the exhibition the meteorite that was heading towards the Earth in 1989, and you know, fortunately it missed us. But I think in astronomical and geological terms, it was a pretty near miss. I think only 6 hours that it passed by the Earth. There haven't been any really major ones in recent time, but certainly some. I guess the most recent one in Australia was in Western Australia in 1984, when a small meteorite came down on a beach south of Perth within 4 metres of a couple who were standing on the beach. And I think they got quite a surprise.
I should say so.
And then we were lucky enough to get some information from Japan about a meteorite fall in December last year, as recently as that, when a couple were sitting in their house in Tokyo and this meteorite crashed through the roof. And they thought the house had been struck by lightning, but then they found this object in the rafters.
In about 1908, there was a massive explosion in Tunguska. I noticed you had something about that in the exhibition.
Yes, well, I think that's been very well documented in the scientific literature as well as in the popular books and so on. And I don't think they're quite sure what caused that. It's thought to have possibly been a detonation of a comet close to the surface of the Earth, but it certainly caused a massive amount of destruction. I think all the forest for about 200 kilometres radius was wiped out, and there's still devastation in that area even today. So I think it highlights the fact that we are vulnerable. I mean, that these objects from outer space can come on a collision course with the Earth at any time, and we're only here for a very short span in terms of geological time, and the Earth has certainly been hit by many large objects in the past. It's just that because of our climate and vegetation cover that the impacts aren't as obvious as they are, for instance, on the Moon, where anyone can look up through a telescope and see the obvious evidence of meteorite impact over the years.
The diorama you have of a rather Sydney looking as if it's been hit by an atom bomb. That's not an atom bomb effect, though, is it?
No, it's not. Although it's probably even worse than if there had been a nuclear detonation over Sydney. The whole approach of the exhibition is a very light-hearted one. It's a comic strip approach, if you like, which I think lends itself well to the particularly the science fiction aspects of the subject. And our young designers, did the exhibition in that style. I guess they'd been influenced by comics and things in the past. But we thought it would be fun, particularly in the aftermath of the federal election, to do a what-if a meteorite landed on Parliament House in Canberra at question time, what the impact of that might be, not only on Canberra, but also on Sydney. And I think it's fair to say that Canberra would be wiped out, and there's massive destruction in Sydney. And the artist who did the diorama for us did quite a lot of research. He contacted the Roads and Traffic Authority to see what might happen to the Sydney Harbour Bridge if such an impact occurred, and they said they thought the arch would withstand that sort of an impact, but that the roadway would fall into Sydney Harbour. The owners and operators of Centrepoint Tower say that it's designed to withstand a massive earthquake and would probably withstand a big meteorite impact on Canberra. The other scenario is a large meteorite landing in the sea between New Zealand and Australia. And that would, of course, cause a massive tidal wave, which would inundate most of the coastal towns and cities in Australia, in the east coast, at any rate.
That all sounds very horrifying. However, I noticed that the children seem to enjoy this quite enormously.
Yes, I think they probably feel that it's all a bit of fun, and they're not rushing out to buy safety helmets or to go into underground bunkers. But as I said, it's a light-hearted approach. We're just posing the question, what if one hit? And I think it's only a matter of timing and a matter of time, to quote one of the captions in the exhibition, before a large meteorite does hit the Earth. Although we're told that the Americans, and I guess possibly the Russians also, have technology which they could possibly use. It's a sort of a turning around of the Star Wars defense initiative to fire a projectile out into outer space and knock an incoming meteorite off its course.
Is that a serious possibility, that we could actually develop the technology to divert asteroids or meteorites heading towards the Earth?
I think so. I guess the cost would be massive, and as far as we know, the defence initiatives, the Star Wars initiative, if you like, wasn't proceeded with because of the enormous cost and the decline of the Cold War tensions between the East and West. But I guess the technology is available there, that they could fire a missile up and detonate a nuclear explosion to knock an incoming meteorite off its course. And of course, that was the subject matter of a movie about 10 years ago called Meteor. It was just that thing, a large meteorite coming into Earth, and the Russians and the Americans got together to jointly fire missiles at it and head it away from the planet.
How does the exhibition on meteorites fit into the overall theme of the Earth Exchange Museum?
Well, the museum was redeveloped a couple of years ago. In the old days, it used to be pretty much just collections of glass cases full of rocks and minerals with not a lot of interpretation. It was redeveloped as a museum about geology, mining, energy, and the Australian environment generally. And I think that this theme, this exhibition, fits in very well with that overall objective. And, of course, education is one of our major charters, and there's a very strong educational component in the exhibition.
Obviously, the museum's here for years and years to come, and hopefully very successfully. But what about the meteorite exhibition? Is that just a temporary one, or will that be permanent?
No, it's designed as a temporary exhibition with an initial run of 3 months, but if it's as successful as we expect it to be, we'll try and extend it beyond that. It's also been designed in a way that it could travel, and any of the major natural history museums around the country or in New Zealand, for instance, would be able to add in their own specimens of meteorites to complement the text panels and the photographic exhibits and so on.
So anyone coming to Sydney in the next few months could come here. What hours do you keep?
We're open 7 days a week from 10 to 5.
And is there a charge?
Yes, there is. There's an admission charge of $7 for adults and $5 for children and concessions.
And where do they find it?
Okay, well, it's at 18 Hickson Road, The Rocks, which is very close to Circular Quay. It's an easy walk around from the station, and that's probably the best way to get there, by train to Circular Quay.
And then just walk around by the waterfront and you really can't miss it.
No, it's a very pleasant walk around the edge of the water, and we're in an old brick building with a big chimney right next to the harbour bridge, so you can't miss us.
Okay, well, thanks, Chris, for joining us tonight on The Space Show.
Thank you very much, Andrew.